Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Psalm 11, verses 4 through 7. This is part 2 of 2.
All right, so back in Psalm 11. If you start to grasp this scene of our holy God, God was manifest in the flesh. God became a little baby in Jesus Christ. He grew up to die for your sins and mine. God doing all that. And He is holy. And yet He chose to put on skin and walk among men. And that rhymed, and I didn't even do it on purpose. And walk among men, filthy, dirty. You realize people didn't know. Jesus walked through the streets. He heard the dirty jokes. He heard the comments about the good-looking women walking by. And He heard the women talking about the men. He heard all that. He was surrounded by filthy human beings for all those years. Why? To save us. But then you think about the truth. He's holy. He's holy. We're not. And I'm grieved. How about you? Any of you ever grieved by what you're hearing around you? The only thing you got going for you, and I, what I have going for it, we have the Holy Spirit in us. But we are not holy in and of ourselves. We are made holy. God is holy. Completely. Entirely. Not a drop of corruption in His blood. Not a drop of corruption in His Spirit. Holy Spirit. That's all God is. Nothing but holy. And then He had to put up with that. And look at verse 5 back in Psalm 11 now. Thinking along those terms. Read verse 5 with me. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Now, first of all, forget what you've been taught. If what you've been taught doesn't match the Scripture, then throw it out. Just spiritually pretend you're walking over to a toilet and go, whoosh, gone. God hates people. Now, here's the thing. God can love and hate at the same time. God can love you enough. He commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And yet, until you're saved, He hates everything that you are. Amen. You are a wicked, filthy sinner who deserves to be in a lake of fire. Amen. But He's long-suffering. He's merciful. He looks at you and your sin, and as disgusting as you are, He doesn't just kill you. Now, some people get a little more time than others. We don't know all the reason why some people live longer than others and have more. Grandpa was able to live to be 80 and get saved. But I got a friend who didn't make it out of high school. And he got saved right before he died. And if he hadn't, he'd gone to hell, even though he didn't get another 60 years to do it. We don't understand all that. But we do know this. We're not going to stand up and say, that's not fair, God. Because God would just look at you. Because none of these atheists are going to have the guts to argue with God. But if they did, God would look at him and say, shut up. You had more than you deserved. If you had more than a millisecond to get saved, you had more than you deserved. And you had a day, you had a week, you had a year. You just icing on the cake. And anybody in heaven going to be able to say, I didn't have a fair chance. You had a million times more chances than you deserved if you lived just a few years after you knew right from wrong. The Lord hateth. Yep, He does. Look over at Proverbs. We're in Psalms. Turn over to Proverbs 6. Proverbs chapter 6, starting verse 16. Does the Lord hate? It says these six things doth the Lord hate. Elbow's got me a funny little magnet. It says, I love coffee and maybe three other people. But the Lord says, six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination to Him. So there's seven total. A proud look. Think of that when you see all these queers marching up and down your streets with pride. God hates them. A proud look. A lying tongue. That means most politicians. And hands that shed innocent blood. And of course, the first thing you think of is abortionists. But there's a lot more that shed innocent blood than just abortionists. Look at verse 18. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Now look at this. I'm just telling you the truth. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you the truth. When you hear somebody say, God hates the sin, but not the sinner, that's not what the Bible says. Verse 10, read that with me. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. There are two people right there named that God hates. But see, you got to understand again, God's not you, God's not human. He can hate those people while still keeping them alive, giving them a heartbeat, providing for their salvation, and if they would, He would save them. You see that? So here's the thing. Don't make the Bible fit our opinion. That has a nice ring to it. Hate the sin, but not the sinner. That should be us. We should not be hating people because we're hypocrites if we do. Well, all of us deserve it. But we're talking about God. And God, that's a whole different story. I mean, we could go on and on with that study. Look at verse 6 back in Psalm 11 then. We understand why. This helps us understand the reason for hell. Verse 6 says, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and in a horrible tempest this shall be the portion of their cup. John 3 is a place where we see you must be born again. A lot of wonderful things said in there, but there's also some pretty serious and even downright ugly things that are said in there. John 3:36, the chapter ends by saying, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Amen. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Listen what I said. That's true about every unsaved person alive right now. If they died without Christ, they're suffering in hell right now. If they're alive without Christ, the wrath of God abideth on them right now. Not after they die. That's on them right now. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 real quick. We'll close this up in just a second. Proverbs chapter 1. Beginning verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Man, I could get in there and just go on and on. But God still calls out in verse 23, says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Now, did he say, you have to go clean up, get baptized, join a church, get a haircut, trim your beard. Amen. He says, all you have to do is turn. Turn and you won't burn. Verse 24. Here's the problem. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel. That means they throw the Bible in the bin. And would none of my reproof. This isn't the description of God that you're going to get from Joel Osteen or most of the TBN preachers. Verse 26, this is your God. If you're saved, this is your God. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, verse 28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Listen, folks, I've said this over and over. We don't know who these people are, so we keep preaching the gospel. But there are people who, even while they're still alive in the flesh, are damned. They're gone. God won't save them. You say, how's that? I believe that's how Judas was right before he died. I don't think Adolf Hitler could have called out and said the sinner's prayer and gone to heaven at the end of the Holocaust. I think he was gone. I saw an old man one time. I've told this story before, and we witnessed to him and explained. He said he understood the gospel and everything. Well, he's like 89 years old. He could sit there, couldn't hardly move. Looked like he was going to drop over dead any moment. Won't you be saved, Walt? Won't you be saved? I saw the preacher in tears. Walt, you know you don't have much time left. Won't you be saved? I don't think so. That just blew my mind. We got out in the car to drive home. I said, what do you think's keeping that 89-year-old man from getting saved? He says, all I can say, Greg, is I just believe he has done some wicked, wicked things, and he has said no one time too many. Now, we don't know that, and if he would have called on the Lord, he could have been saved, but why didn't he? I believe there are people... Right there, it's right there. It's in black and white in your Bible. They shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Well, there's Calvinists hate it when you bring up choosing. Well, there it is. It's in the Bible. It's you. God's not going to be to blame if you go to hell. He didn't create you and elect you to damnation. You are going to answer for the fact you chose hell.
Amen. That's right.
You chose it. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Amen. That's us. That's you and me. I'm saved. Are you? You saved? Then that's you. Amen. All right. Let's close in verse 7 and back in Psalm 11. Close with this additional promise. Read that with me. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. That's a wonderful promise if you're living for the Lord. That's a wonderful promise if you're saved. If you're not, it's horrible. But if you're saved, that's good news. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. All right, we'll take a couple of questions just for a few minutes if you got any. Johnny, speak loudly.
Yeah, this is just, so what we were just talking about in Proverbs there, I'm wondering if that, those people seeking God after the calamity has come on them, I wonder if that's an indication that they're not actually repenting right there. Because from what I don't know, it seems like when there is genuine repentance, God will respond. But it's like, I don't know, do you suppose that's maybe like...
Yeah, I think what you're saying is true. It's kind of like you see a guy on the deathbed and he's not really repentant. He's not really trusting in Jesus Christ. He's just saying, oh God, help me, Lord. They even call in the name of Jesus. But you know, you got to start with repentance toward God, with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You have to be born again before God starts treating you like a child. So that's the problem. Romans 1, of course, you know, we're told that there are these people who are handed over to a reprobate mind. And it says, verse 26, and this is talking about the Sodomites. This is talking about the same kind of people marching all month, all over the country in the street, proud of their sodomy. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. It doesn't matter who you love. Yes, it does. It's vile. Amen. A man with a man is vile. A woman with a woman is vile. What you call homosexuality is vile. It's not love, it's lust, it's disgusting, it's an abomination. Amen. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Those are dykes. Verse 27, and likewise, oh, by the way, I said this before, I'm just calling them what they want to be called. They're having a dyke march next week up in New York. They call it that, I didn't. And I'm not going to bow and bend over backwards to call them what they want to be called. Homosexual. LGBTQ. You call yourself a dyke, you're a dyke. You don't want to be called a dyke, stop calling yourself a dyke. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which is meat. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. To do those things which are not convenient, and so forth and so on. So that's what I think you're dealing with. It's not just the Sodomites. I mean, there's a lot of other people I think that through the years have fallen into that. It wasn't just because they were homo. But I think we're probably seeing it at a higher rate, higher level, a larger number of reprobates today than probably has been since Sodom and Gomorrah. Good point, though, Johnny. Steve?
So, the mercy seat, we'll talk about that a little bit. It's been a while since I've read through Daniel. But when it was lost, David lost it. And it went to...
Well, it wasn't David. It was lost back when Eli. Remember when Eli? He got old and fat like a lot of us, and he fell back and died. And his sons were killed. Right. And they were fornicating in the temple and everything. God just killed them, got rid of them. And then the Philistines had peeked into it. And a bunch of them died. Right. Thousands, tens of thousands of them had died. So they sent it back, and so that's when they put it in Bethel. And kept it there. Then later, David tried to bring it back, but he didn't read God's instructions. And Uzzah saw the thing about to tip over, and he reached up and to stabilize it, and God killed him. And that's another example of why would God do that? Because God said, if you touch it, you die. God's not a liar, so you touch it, you die. If they had read their Bible, if they had read 2 Samuel more recently, if they had read the law, actually, back in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, they would have known you're supposed to have staves through the little hooks on the corners and carry it. No one's supposed to touch it. But they had just put it on a cart. And so it tipping over, he was doing a good thing, generally speaking. But
now, so the Philistines... kind of interesting because they looked into it, so that means that they had to take the mercy seat off of, to look into it, you actually have to, you know, take the mercy seat.
Yeah.
The mercy seat's on the lid.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because when they looked into it, like 12 or 17,000 people died?
It was a large number. I don't have the number of it. Yeah.
Well, what's interesting, I when I read that, I saw that they took the mercy off the law.
Yeah, that's good.
Because what's in there?
Yeah.
The Ten Commandments. And so yeah. It's like they were being exposed to radiation.
Yeah.
Because they were actually being exposed to the law of power.
Yeah. That's what it's like. It was like a hazmat situation.
Yeah. Kind of like, yeah, it
pop the lid off, and everybody's like, nyeh, you know, dropping dead like flies. Yeah. But that's what I said. It's not radiation, but it's similar. It's the only real good analogy we have is you stand before God and you don't have the hazmat suit on, which is the righteous robe of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, the robe provided for you, you drop dead. You disintegrate, or, you know, according to the situation where you're.
K-19. It's a movie about the submarine, K-19. These guys had to go into.
That sounds familiar, but I don't think I said it.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Oh, I did see that, yes. Yeah.
Who were the actors in there?
It had some pretty good actors.
But I remember that. It was like they knew they were going to die, right, yeah. But they went in and did what they had to do. And yeah. On the, you know, we're going to hear more of the stories from Japan that happened during that tsunami. Yeah. And there were a lot of that. Johnny?
That is just commenting. It sounds like it was actually not too bad accuracy for the Indiana Jones movie.
You know, I still haven't watched that, so I know what you're talking about. I saw that 30 years ago, but I haven't seen it. I don't remember. That's the great thing about getting old. You watch a movie you haven't seen in a while, and it's like brand new. I've got a DVR.
You got a DVR?
Yeah. In the movie, they present it like it's some super weapon because of some of the Bible stories about.
Yeah.
They opened the ark and everybody there except for the hero and his girl, because they were smart enough to look away.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much everyone there is disintegrated.
Yeah.
The best part in Raiders of the Lost Ark is when Indiana Jones has to tell these people, you know, tell these scholars what the Ark of the Covenant is.
Yeah.
It's like, did you guys ever go to Sunday school? The best part.
Which movie was it that the guy has the sword and he pulls out his gun and goes, okay,
yeah.
That's my favorite part, even though I can't remember the movie. I remember that part.
There are so many people in this world, and if you listen to what they say, makes a difference what you choose, which version of the Bible you use. All those are the same, and you shouldn't be that old King James, and I get a crazy look when I tell them I believe God's word, and Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Yeah.